This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacia. Been a shakeup at the Cherokee County Detention Center following the death of an inmate over the summer. Captain Mark Patterson, the jail administrator, offered his resignation last week after a damaging investigative report suggests he encouraged an environment of violence that put inmates at risk. Reporters at Carolina Public Press reviewed more than 500 pages of public records and spoke to dozens of people both on and off the record. Former staff at the detention center told CPP that jailers coerced inmates into fighting and left vulnerable inmates unprotected for their enemies to attack them. Joining me now from partner station Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville is Carolina Public Press Managing Editor Frank Taylor. Welcome back, Frank.
Thank you.
Also with us is investigative reporter Kate Martin, who's in our studio. Welcome, Kate. Good to have you as well.
Thank you for having me.
Frank, tell us how the Cherokee County Jail came to your attention.
Well, initially we began getting tips from people in Cherokee County saying, hey, there's stuff going on here you guys should take a look at. We did an initial story about a specific incident that occurred in May. We wrote the article and it appeared in June, in which two guards were involved in kind of a scrap with a federal inmate who was housed there temporarily. And there was a difference of opinion about who did what to whom and whether there was excessive force. Both guards were eventually fired. And at least one of the guards has pretty interesting claims that he was scapegoated to cover up some more serious problems at the facility. As a result of that, we began hearing from a lot of additional people and said, we need to do a broader investigation. We're hearing about a lot of different allegations of a wide range of problems in the jail there. So I recruited a freelance investigator who worked with us on the story, Jordan Wilkie. And Jordan, being a very good freelance investigator, actually was offered a job out of state. So I ended up finishing up the reporting work with him, cooperating with him, but he was out of the loop on it at the end. And Jordan had a specialty and he'd done some work on federal inmate abuse previously, so he had a knowledge and expertise in this area.
And in July, an inmate died while in the custody
That's right.
of Cherokee County Detention Center. So now tell us about that story.
Sure. So Shane Long was arrested. He had been reported by callers who said he was behaving in an erratic manner, and officers who arrested him said he resisted arrest. He was brought in. He was put in a location where he could be observed. And he had been there for several hours and he passed out and they tried to revive him unsuccessfully. He was flighted. This location, Cherokee County, is very close to the Tennessee line. So he was flighted to the hospital in Knoxville, Tennessee, where he was declared dead. There's several concerns about the way this was handled. Officers we talked to, former officers, said, look, given the conditions he was brought in, and including some evidence of drug use, he should have been screened medically before being admitted, and he should have been kept under a different type of observation the entire time, given that situation, and that appears not to have happened. We've asked for a lot of information about that incident. You know, we mentioned 500 pages of records. Thing is, we asked for quite a few we didn't get, and some of the ones we got had part of them obscured, and this was a case where the narrative in this case was obscured. So we still aren't sure of what the official account is of what happened on some of those things. We've pieced some of it together from 911 records.
And the jail was already being investigated by the SBI, right, prior to that death?
Right, and the SBI, as a matter of protocol, opened an additional investigation after that death, but they were investigating the SBI, the federal inmate I mentioned earlier who was involved in a fight with the guards. And then a third SBI investigation relates closely to the sheriff's office. They're investigating the Department of Social Services in Cherokee County, where they were skipping going to judges when they seized children from homes and sending deputies out to pick up the children without getting help from judges. Well, that you can see where that would involve the sheriff's office, but the key issue is that the head of DSS was the sheriff's wife. And so that's also under investigation.
All right. So tell us now, you said your sources were coming to you talking about a number of irregularities that were going on in that jail. When did they start and what kind of irregularities are they reporting?
So they have alleged that there's been a pattern of increasing irregularities over the last several years. A lot of it began after Mark Patterson came in as the jail administrator, and he was hired at the very end of 2014 when Derek Palmer was elected a sheriff. So beginning really in early 2015 through the present, they have alleged that these things have happened and begin increasing. The specific incidents that we looked at in the article that we published on October 29th, however, were all incidents from 2018. So this is not ancient history. These are all alleged incidents, including inmates being forced to fight each other, situations in which the locks were popped in a cell and inmates were told to go pummel a particular person, inmates being used as enforcers against other inmates who were known to be vulnerable for whatever reason, that previously would have been housed in a safe place, that were beaten up repeatedly whenever they were put in with other prisoners.
What kind of folks are you know, the people who are coming to you? They include former employees at the jail, right?
Yeah. For the article, we heavily relied on two guards who had retired, and they had both described retiring specifically because they did not want to continue working under the conditions that existed. We had a number of other sources that we did not use as on-the-record sources. They came to us with information we were able to corroborate or find, you know, but the information we put in the story was primarily relying on those guards. And then we looked at a wealth of public records that, you know, confirmed things. And we have a lot more we're looking into still, but those are the ones we were able to have a pretty good account of.
Kate, let's talk about this because the expose was released on October 29th, right? So talk about the response. Apparently, the administrator of that jail has resigned. Tell us what other kind of response you've had.
Well, the sheriff never actually commented for our stories. I found out about his response by listening to a radio appearance that he had at WKRK. And there he said that they were going to make a number of administrative changes. I found out independently that Captain Mark Patterson had resigned and his resignation takes place on November 30th. Sheriff Palmer said that the changes will take place on December 1st. He also, in response to my questions, told me that there's going to be an acting captain at the detention center, and he's in the process of interviewing a new person to take over permanently who will be named before December 1st.
We are talking today about an investigative report by Carolina Public Press on irregularities at the Cherokee County Jail, and that conversation is happening right here on The State of Things. Talking with Kate Martin, an investigative journalist with CPP, and Frank Taylor, the managing editor at Carolina Public Press. So what does the sheriff say about all of this going on? Sheriff is in charge of the jail, ultimately. What did he say about these things that seem to be happening?
Well, again, I didn't talk to him directly because he wouldn't respond to me, but he did tell WKRK that he feels like he's, you know, his hands are tied, that he can't respond to these allegations. And he cited a number of reasons, including, you know, medical privacy or inmate privacy, personnel privacy. The thing is, though, is there are things that he can tell us. You know, there are things the law says that he can't. And there's some things that he has the discretion to disclose. And so when we're saying that he withheld information, we're talking about the stuff that he's required to respond to when we file a records request.
Well, I mean, there would be other questions about why he didn't know what was happening there as the sheriff of the County of Cherokee.
He did say that he takes full responsibility for what happens under his watch, he said during that radio interview. But he also said that he was very, you know, distraught or disheartened that, you know, people under him didn't actually come to him to tell him what was happening.
Where do we stand now? Because I know the SBI is, I think, a couple of investigations now open. Do you know where those investigations stand?
You know, I don't. This is my ninth day at Carolina Public Press. I'm still trying to catch up on some of this.
Well, so looking forward then, because you're now taking this on, mm-hmm. What's next in this investigation?
Well, as Frank mentioned, we are getting a number of tips, and I continue to see the tips streaming in. And if you're interested in giving us a tip, look up Carolina Public Press online and send us an email. I'm following up on those tips. I'm filing records requests. I'm following up on records requests and calling people. It's just a matter of, you know, until I can get a story together. But there are things falling into place and some very interesting things that we're going to be reporting on soon.
And Frank, that brings us to this point, which I would like to highlight. You talked about people coming to you with these irregularities. Carolina Public Press is an investigative source, an investigative journalist online source, initially just Western North Carolina. Now you cover the whole state. But I think this points out the importance of investigative journalism. Where would the folks of Cherokee County have gone if they had these concerns? They're certainly not going to go to the sheriff and tell them that, you know, because they don't know how that's going to land on them. Without some kind of competent and reliable investigative journalism, I guess that stuff might still be going on.
Well, I don't know that it's not, but I hear you. And I think that you ask a very important question. I mean, this is why we exist, and we're not trying to usurp the role of local media, local newspapers, but we also know that they're fighting a hard battle economically. They don't have the teams they used to have. Even some of the big newspapers don't have the investigative teams they used to have. So in many ways, we're looking to supplement what traditional media have done and do the kind of work that they can't always do. We put in more than 4 months of work on this story, and I dare say a lot of those traditional organizations would not be able to do that these days.
No, we're all on the same team with this, Frank. So whatever your label mm-hmm. and whatever the badge and whatever the brand, this stuff is important to every single citizen of the United States of America and the state of North Carolina. So thank you very much. Frank Taylor is the managing editor of Carolina Public Press. He joined us from Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville. Kate Martin is an investigative reporter with Carolina Public Press. Frank and Kate, thank you both for being on the program.
You're very welcome.
Thank you so much.
You can take a look at their reporting at our website, stateofthings.org.